is Road to the Draft with Cal Toomey and Matt Edwards.
Hello, you're listening to AFL.com.au, episode 6 of Road to the Draft. Cal Toomey and Nat Edwards with you. Cal, haven't seen you in ages.
I know. Good to have you back, Nat. How was China?
It was great, thank you. Ni hao.
Ni hao. Yeah. Zaijian.
Zaijian, yeah. Shishin.
Taiguela. Did you much of Taiguela going on?
Just at the market.
Taiguela! Taiguela, way too much, way too expensive.
Okay, yeah, good.
That's how they say it. Taiguela.
With some gesturing, you need the hand actions.
I've been to China and that was one of the things we always learned at the markets.
Did you eat anything interesting while you were in China?
When I was in China in 2004, we were eating scorpions and, you know, like fried scorpion. Mm.
Delicious.
What else was some of the other things? There was some sort of testicles that was going around, but...
You can get those soups with all the appendages in them.
What did you get up to over there?
None of that, if that's what you're asking. I ate dumplings.
Dumplings?
Yeah, lots of dumplings, which I love. But thanks to Mitch Cleary for filling in. Mm. I hear he did such a good job that you nearly wouldn't let me back in this podcast studio.
Well, wait until you hear Ned McHenry later today, a draft prospect who we've got on the show. I did say in the interview, because we pre-recorded yesterday, that your job might be in jeopardy because he can chat.
Chat. This is no good.
It's good to have you back. Anyway, by the way, you've come back with the moon boot on.
I have, yes.
What's happened?
Football accident on Saturday.
In China?
No. I played in the Port Adelaide Gold Coast game. Don't know if you saw it.
Yeah.
Playing for Old Camberwell. I got tackled on the weekend and my foot got caught.
Oh, no. Asava.
Yeah. Yeah, so it happened on Saturday and I'm sitting on the couch Saturday night, you know, complaining,
feeling sorry about myself.
And then Asava goes over with the broken ankle. And, you know, my husband turns to me and says, you need to stop whinging now.
Mm,
I could have done with a green whistle, though. Have you had a green whistle before? Oh,
no.
I really want one.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Let's get on with the show. So the exciting news is that the under-18s NAB AFL Championship starts on Sunday.
It does. It does.
Are you pumped?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. It's always a good period of the year. And I guess it's a reference point for the year as well for many people. Everyone always comes back to how the players did in the championships and certainly a period of the year where the players are matched against their peers from around the country and the best of their peers around the country. So it's a big month and it starts on Sunday at Alberton Oval, WA and Adelaide or South Australia playing there at 11 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. So if you're around in the area, go and check it out. And then the following week, the other sides get amongst it. So that's in Spotless Stadium where the Allies and Vic Country play, and then the next day, WA and Vic Metro face off.
Optus Stadium, imagine playing there.
That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Yeah, so it's going to run for a month or so, 5 rounds. It'll finish up on Wednesday, July 4 at Etihad Stadium with those couple of games it always finishes off with. So that'll be really good. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's obviously been talked about heaps this year's draft as a super draft. It's not that. So we can probably lose that term, I think, but certainly throughout the next few weeks.
Such a downer because everyone's talking about it as a super draft.
The top 10 to 12 are exceptional. And I think there's a really consistent group of sort of 15 to 16 that a lot of recruiters will have up around the top end and inside that first 20 to 25. And maybe that's where this year is a little bit different, where it does seem like there's a really sort of even group, or a group that everyone acknowledges are right at the top. And then we'll wait and see across the championships who jumps into that group or who maybe drops out because that's what happens across the carnival. But, yeah, it'll be really good. Who's going to win it?
Yeah. Tell us who's the strongest team. Like, who's looking pretty good?
I mean, Vic Metro is always a strong side, clearly. And South Australia this year have some really, really top-end stars. So I think with Jack Lukosius and obviously Isaac Rankin, who's performed well previously at this level. Connor Rose has done the same. Jackson Haitley's coming on in leaps and bounds too. So they've got four real guns there that should be able to steer them to a few wins. Look, WA, I don't think are looking like a very strong squad this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, even last year.
Well, they weren't a great team last year, but they did get a lot drafted. And the Allies, I mean, I hope the Allies go really well. It'd be great if they played well. And judging by their performances in the trial games on the weekend, they should be quite strong in stages. So, look, it's just a matter of them actually training together enough and being together enough to sort of really challenge. But, look, I mean, it's pretty safe to say that South Australia and Vic Metro will be right up there, and Vic Country will need Sam Walsh to really star and Jai Caldwell to dominate too through the midfield for them to obviously get it down to Hudson Gironi, who will be sort of hitting the championships in some good form as a key forward for them. So, look, I think the main contenders will be SA and Vic Metro, but let's hope for surprise because surprises are always fun.
They are fun, but given that, Etihad Stadium, round 5, July 4, as you say, when the champs finishes up, it is Vic Metro South Australia, which is very exciting to finish it.
Well, it's worth remembering that this fixture is put together by the AFL talent team, and they probably know who's going to be the stronger side. So if it came down to that last game on Wednesday, July 4 at 4:40 at Etihad Stadium, that would be fantastic. I think the last 5 will be broadcast on telly, so that's something to keep an eye on there. And of course, throughout the championships, we'll have all the highlights on Prime Prospects every week with the standout performers. So you won't be missing much on AFL.com.
Of course not. And
.au.
That's right. And of course, Road to the Draft, keeping you up to date. Now, there's been plenty of draft news and under 18 news over the last couple of weeks, really, in the lead up to the champs. And we should talk about the NAB AFL Academy. And it's been restructured going forward from next year. Quite a few changes to get through. So we thought we'd run through some of those today for our listeners. The big one, and I know you're still mourning this, but the international training camps have been dumped.
They're gone. They're gone. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Sarasota, my love. Look, hey, that's a disappointing part. I think there's still room for that special trip to be there, and that's not just saying that from someone who's been lucky enough to go on them.
You've obviously seen the benefit, though.
Exactly, and I think some people who have complained about the trip in the past, the sort of people who maybe not have been on it as much as others. So I think a lot of people who've been on it have sort of recognised the value of it. But I also understand that if you don't go, you're not able to see. So I see there's sort of...
You see both sides.
I see both sides, but I would have liked to see that going because I think that it was a valuable trip for the guys who went on it. And the ability for them to train and spend that much time with each other as top-end players...
And learn off each other too.
Exactly, I think is sort of something that... It's hard to measure in some ways, but it's also easy to measure because you see the growth in other players as they sort of bounce off each other. But yeah, as you say, this is something that we've been speaking about for a good 6 weeks. I think we mentioned on sort of the opening show we did this year that this was in line to happen. Last week we saw it just confirmed. Julian O'Clubs were briefed about it from Tristan Salter, head of talent at the AFL. So they sort of got a full PowerPoint and overlooking what's it going to be like. In summary, though, it's going to be that the National Academy, which existed over two levels, the under-17s and the under-18s, is going to basically be destructured, if that's a word.
Yep.
And taken
pulling
back.
Pulling it apart.
Pulling it apart. And it's going to now be 30 players in each of the state hubs. So there's going to be 5 state hubs around the country. That's WA.
Talent hubs.
Yes. SA, WA, Vic Metro, Vic Country, and the Allies. And they're each going to have 30 players, probably a breakup of about 20 draft age players and then 10 sort of bottom ages, if that makes sense. And through those talent hubs, there's going to be 3 camps per state, including a cultural experience. So they'll get to go to the Tiwi Islands or they might go to the APY lands or something like that. They might have a camp up in far north Queensland.
Well, let's hope you get a call up for one of those, Cal.
Yeah, it doesn't have quite the same ring to it. But so they're going to have to go somewhere on one of those camps. And they're also going to see an All-Australian camp come together in April. So that's basically what the AFL Academy still had in its April camp, which, of course, this year we saw the NAB AFL Academy beat the North Melbourne VFL side. So as part of that camp. So in some ways, a lot's changed. In some ways, a lot hasn't. I guess what the AFL hopes is that more players now fall under the umbrella of its academy structure, whereas 60 players in the past are across the two levels now, they see it as 150.
So was there a feeling that, I guess, the elite players in the draft pool were, I guess, getting more training or attention and so it wasn't as competitive across the board? So players were missing out below that level.
I think they want to bring a few people up towards the back end. Okay. So I think their issues that they identified in what the model was that it was probably a too big of an investment in too few players, like you say. Also, the sort of duplication of players in national and state programs, meaning they're jumping between different coaches and probably too many sort of programs. I guess another one was that there was some industry fatigue with the international trips, and obviously it costs clubs a fair bit to travel as well. And that the investment at national level meant the states were being stretched as well. So some of that money and investment will be sort of stripped back and going back to state level instead of the National Academy. And sort of some of the funds will be reallocated towards some other activities, such as the Tiwi trip or such as the APY trip or whatever it is. So I'm more coaching.
You're out there. You're constantly talking to all the different clubs, the recruiters. What is the general feeling? Are the clubs on board with this idea, or are there still some reservations?
Well, I guess it will play it out. And I think most clubs are happy to see it sort of play it out. And let's see if it's any better, worse, different. Or if it's just change for the sake of change, which, you know, at this point we don't know what it's going to be like. Mm. So I think most of them are holding their fire in some regards.
So they're open to it.
But, I mean, some of the same issues may still exist in terms of, you know, the, I guess, the workload that's placed on players. Will the workload be any different for the top-end players now that they go back to state hubs instead of their national academy? Potentially not. Will the top players still get chances to go to AFL clubs in the same manner that they did through the NAB AFL Academy? Probably not, because that was a great part of the NAB AFL Academy program in that they were able to spend, each player was able to spend 2 weeks at a club or a week at a club and really live the AFL life.
Yeah, I know, it helps with the transition.
I know Michael Mummery at the moment, who missed out on his chance to do it over summer for various reasons, is now at Geelong. He's been at Geelong this week. He's been staying with Takai Cockatoo. He's
awesome
an NT prospect. He's got himself in better shape fitness-wise, so he's deserved this opportunity. He's worked towards it, and he's been training there this week and showing some of his talents. So that'll be really valuable for him.
Yep.
And it's something that, you know, I think players and the clubs themselves will miss out on, because they get to sort of form relationships with players and through that experience, they get to see how they'll go in an AFL environment. So it's a bit of to and fro that both will miss out on if that does sort of get the chop, I guess, because it's a lot easier to send through two players maybe per club at the start of January than it is to find a home for 150 or 100 top-age draft players every year, which would just be nearly impossible at AFL clubs to spread them out. So, yeah, I mean, we'll wait and see how it all goes. It's a change, no doubt, but there are some similarities, and I guess the camp in April will still see the best of the best come together.
Yep.
And all of that. So that'll be a key part of the year. But again, the reason that the NAB AFL Academy was able to win that game this year was probably the fact that they'd been so well coached under Luke Powell, who we've had on the show, for 2 years.
Yep.
Whereas this case and next Academy camp, you know, in April, if that's the All Australian camp, for instance, they would have just come together as a group.
It's very hard to gel.
It's impossible.
Isn't it? So, yeah, it'll be
not the winning's only winning's the only thing, but also I guess a challenge for Luke and the other guys in their positions in terms of the coaching structure and the coaching philosophies and everything that they want to put out there for as a talent sort of industry is going to be hard to sort of monitor and follow that across the whole country if you're based at AFL House. So we'll wait and see how it goes, but you know, I'm hoping it's successful. We'll wait and see though.
All right, stay tuned.
It's one of those things that like, how will we know it's successful?
Well,
you know, for a long time.
You can't even judge it really in its first year either.
No, not at
You've
all.
You've got to wait a couple of years really to see how it goes. So that's the restructure of the NAB AFL Academy for next year. Now, this year's draft, we still don't know what kind of format we're looking at.
We know nothing.
We don't know the date. We know it's in November at some stage.
Well, maybe.
It's,
who knows? They might be going really out there. And
they might. Let's hope because, you know.
It's Christmas Eve.
Well, we don't really want to work on Christmas Eve. What do you think Santa will say?
I want to watch
that?
Bad Santa on Christmas Eve.
Don't you want to watch the Christmas carols?
I never watch the Christmas carols.
I hate Christmas carols.
What's your favourite Christmas carol?
Well, none of them.
None of them?
I hate them. When you walk into Safeway and...
Ba-da-ba-bum-bum.
Drummer boy?
Yeah, that one, yeah. I reckon that one's the best one. Okay. But,
we digress.
What's your favourite Christmas movie?
Oh, I don't even know. They always play Love Actually.
Well, speaking of Love Actually, me and my housemate were watching this 2 nights ago. It was on.
What is wrong with you?
No, it was on.
Do you like Love Actually?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you like a rom-com?
No, I like Love Actually, but that's a good movie. Who doesn't like Love Actually?
This is me.
Really?
I've
Why?
Seen it so many times.
No, that's
it's
the point, though.
It bores
me. You know all the lines and everything.
Yeah. No, not for mine. All right.
Well, favorite Christmas movie? You didn't answer it.
It's because I can't even think of any.
Well,
I
haven't seen Bad Santa.
No, haven't seen Bad Santa.
It's a 5-star. What about Home Alone?
Is that really a Christmas
movie? Yeah, definitely. Definitely. In New York. Yep.
Elf.
Elf.
Oh, Elf. Yes. I love Will Ferrell. I'll go with Elf. I had to have help there from Jack, our producer. Thanks, Jack. All right, let's get back onto the draft, and it's not going to be on Christmas Eve because if it is, then Cal and I won't be there.
With the Rostown.
Live trading in this year's draft. Now, you flagged this as a real possibility, also the possibility that the draft might run over 2 days or two nights. You broke that story earlier this year on AFL.com.au. You've been speaking to Gil.
Yeah, I spoke to Gil today.
The
big boss, and he's been pretty uncommittal about whether there will be live trading introduced this year. And look, I thought it was a reasonable time to ask the question because we're nearly mid-year and only a couple of days off being from June. And the draft, as you say, is generally in November. So we're about 6 months off the draft being on. And you'd hope by now the AFL has a pretty clear idea
if it's going
to introduce live trading in terms of the picks. I don't think it'd be anything more than picks. I think that's fair to say.
But you need to get time to get their head around it.
Exactly. And like Steve Hocking's spoken previously and the AFL's spoken previously about wanting to sort of introduce its rules in October, sort of that October deadline for new rules. You'd think that now, 6 months out from the draft, there'd probably be a little bit of a deadline approaching. So Gil said that that'll come up in the next couple of weeks and he hopes that a decision will be made on that. But, geez, they're cutting a bit fine. You don't want to leave it too long. I mean, the reason being that as soon as the rules are out there, I'm sure clubs will be picking holes in them. So you want some time to sort of realize
a loophole.
Well, the clubs will be trying to find the loopholes, but the AFL will then be trying to work out what the loophole is going to be to think ahead of it.
Exactly.
To make sure that, you want to road test these type of things. So you'd hope that pretty soon you'd want to know if it's going to be brought in, if there's going to be a restriction on how many picks you can trade, or how long into the future you can trade, how long we actually have to make a decision.
Exactly.
Where are the clubs going to be sitting in terms of their little war room setup? Yeah, all that
the
sort of
format
thing.
Of the night itself, if it's two nights, one night, where it's going to be held, and we still don't know. Now, I know you wrote an article saying that Tassie was a possible...
Well, yes. I said it was a possible...
A possible...
Lots of people got very excited that was where it's going to be.
Had a few people around the office sort of Googling where to go out in Tassie. Would it be in Hobart if it was
I think it'd be Hobart. I mean, Hobart Casino might sort of be a spot that they could look at, but... I think it's definitely in the mix. It has definitely been in the mix and definitely been considered. I would say that it's out of Tassie and Melbourne.
Oh, we don't want it in Melbourne.
Adelaide's also been mentioned, but I think it's more the other two.
Bullshit.
In the last 4 years, the bullshit.
I'm not allowed back there.
Why?
We had footy trip last year.
Excuse me,
Adelaide.
Hold up the conversation here. What happened at the woolshed?
No, we just went there. We went there two nights in a row. I had to throw out my jeans and my shoes, boots after two nights at the woolshed. It's a dirty.
Is that because you're on the rotating
the cow
the bull?
The bull. That's right.
Did you jump on the bull?
Couldn't get on.
No, why?
Too small.
Did you try?
Yes.
Okay.
Couldn't get the leverage.
Do you want to finish the story here? Or?
No, I think we should just move back to where the draft is going to be
Tassie,
held.
I think, is well in the mix. And look, if it doesn't come through, the AFL has definitely considered. I asked Gil today that as well. Mm-hmm. Is Tassie in the mix? And he said, all options being considered. And gave me a grin. And then I said, is Tassie part of that? And he said, we've got five states and a couple of territories. And then I said, when are we going to expect an announcement? He said, hopefully by the end of June. So...
Come on,
we'll
Gil.
Keep our fingers crossed on that one. But it might also tie into the actual how it's going to unfold because they're going to need a room that's sort of suitable for it. So who is it? The events department that's making the call? Is it the footy department? And when? So.
Well, I can tell you I did a little, things to do in Hobart, just sussing out options.
Where's Mona?
Let's go to Mona. I reckon the draft should be at Mona. Not near. There's a certain wall in Mona that is probably not quite right for the... No, but I've heard about this wall and that's not where the draft should be. Choose a different room. The Salamanca Markets, we could have it there and have like an OB and there's food trucks. Okay. Imagine that.
What else is there to do?
Port Arthur.
Oh, well, I don't think we'll be going there.
Can't have the draft there.
No,
that's a bit awkward.
I don't think
Cascade
we'll be going
Brewery.
There. Cascade Brewery.
There's a gin distillery.
What about, is there some sort of Tasmanian Devil sort of thing? No?
I don't know.
No, okay.
There
I haven't
been
there for a long time.
Mount Wellington?
In New Zealand?
No, there's a Mount Wellington in Hobart. You can climb it.
No, not my go.
You can climb up to the draft?
No. All right. Well, speaking of draftees.
They're great PR options.
Okay, you've got it all sorted.
Got good vision ops for the AFL.
Well, that's all. That's what you're after. Since China, you've really come back a different person in terms of your vision ops because you've spoken that much about the Shanghai skyline and all that sort of stuff.
And among other things. All right, let's get down and talk to one of the highly rated prospects in this year's draft pool, and it is Geelong Falcons midfielder Ned McHenry.
Right, we're joined on the podcast by Ned McHenry. And Ned, thanks for coming on.
No worries. Thanks for having me, Cal.
Have you seen the start of your season? Because it's obviously been a busy time for everyone and you've been playing plenty of footy. How have you rated your own form?
Yeah, no, it's been good, and obviously changing just from the APS and TACCUP and other stuff in the academy as well. But it's always a little bit different playing the different stands of footy. But I've really enjoyed my footy in the start of the year, and you always want to improve on some things, and you want your form to improve and check out what you can do. But yeah, I've just really enjoyed playing, I think.
Coming into the year, what did you want to improve, and what were your goals for 2018?
Yeah, I've never actually been that explosive, so I've always wanted to just get a little bit more power in my legs and obviously some more just general strength all over my body, and as well as my kicking. It was a bit of a goal coming into the preseason, like talking with Luke and Doc and a few of my other coaches, just to really try and clean up my kicking a little bit. And as a smaller player, I think it's pretty important to be one touch and have good clean skills.
I'm sure that's something that Luke Power did sort of emphasise as well, given it was a trait of his throughout his sort of illustrious career. And what are sort of the things that you can do to improve that, and what were your focuses to get your kicking to a level where you're happy with it?
Yeah, well, that's one of the things with the academy that's so brilliant, I guess, and they kind of teach you that although you will have your main training sessions and they're flat out and at really high intensities, I think you can get a lot out of just outside of those sessions, just doing a lot of touch, and it doesn't have to be that strenuous, but just a lot of repetition stuff and getting the footy in your hands as much as you can. And Luke always talks about just carrying a footy around and throwing it up and finding a mate and doing it at a good intensity, at a game intensity, and I think that's really beneficial.
Now, you were added to the NAB AFL Academy. I was going to mention that. How was that experience for you over the sort of last 8 to 10 months?
Yeah, it was really good. It was obviously a bit daunting coming in. There was some other boys that got added as well, but all the boys in the academy are actually just so laid back. You kind of come in and think they're going to be these big scary giants, but it was pretty good. They're all pretty normal boys as well. They love their Fortnite and that, so they're all pretty laid back, and you kind of get in. And then I think once you start training and stuff, it becomes really easy to form a bit of a connection doing what we all love to do.
Now, we'll get back onto the footy in a second, but the Fortnite stuff, what's made it so popular? Because I just can't get into it. I've got a PlayStation, I've downloaded it, I just can't get into it at all.
See, I find that bizarre, Cal, because I'm the absolute opposite. I'm not a huge PlayStation man, but as soon as I got my hands on the Fortnite, I cannot get off it.
Yeah, but why? What's the thing? Because it is a craze, and we know that other boys around the country and draft prospects and draft hopefuls will be listening, so we want to know what's made it so good.
I don't know. I can't give you the perfect answer, is my honest truth. You've just got to get on. And you might not love it in the first hour, but as you get going, I promise you, you will warm up to it.
Right, okay. I'll add you. I can beat you there. I'll probably get done, to be perfectly honest. I'm not good at those sort of games. Stick me on FIFA, though. How much do you think the academy made you improve, though, on the whole? I mean, in terms of attitude, in terms of professionalism, I'm sure you're already there at a really good level already, but being sort of acclimatised to those group of players must have helped on that front too.
Yeah, massively. The academy was such an awesome experience, and you're exposed to the best players in the country, and with that, the training standards lift and the expectation on you at training lift. It's just such a great experience, and the feedback you get from so many different coaches, you can really hone in on some specific stuff that maybe you can't do at TACCUP or APS level to a degree. I mean, you still do that really well at TACCUP and school level, but at academy, I think it's just so personalised. They'll work with you on stuff that you really want to work on, and it's all really specific. And, it's just awesome. We're all so lucky to be involved in it.
What did you take out of last year? Because it was obviously a really good one for you personally and from a team perspective as well, down at the Falcons, winning the TACCUP Premiership and being a part of that. What was that like for you?
Yeah, it was awesome. I didn't really have huge expectations personally going into the year, but as we got rolling as the Falcons group, it was just like so exciting towards the end of the year when we started winning, and Doc and Batters and all my coaches throughout the year really emphasised on how important it was as a team. If you play well collectively, then personal success will will grow from that as well. And I think just that, that was so evident in the Falcons group last year. Everyone just played their role, and Doc was so big on that, and everyone did it really well, and everyone played good footy individually as a result of that. So it was awesome.
For those who haven't seen you play, and there might be some out there, I'm sure they will see you play over the next few weeks, particularly as the championships unfold, but describe yourself as a player and what you think you do well.
Yeah, it's always hard, but I guess try and just pride myself on my hard work on the ground, whether that's kind of my work rate running both ways. My running is probably one of my main strengths, and then just when I get to contests, just being competitive and getting good intensity around the ball with my tackling and my pressure, just trying to base my game off that work rate stuff.
You do get in the face of opponents too. You don't mind a little bit of a chirp?
Oh, I'm not sure if that's true. sometimes.
I've seen a few little scraps here and there.
Oh, there might have been one or two, but I try and keep out of that stuff. I try and focus on the footy.
Where does the endurance side of things come from? I probably have asked you this before, but off air. But, like, you know, has it always been a strength of yours to be able to run and keep going, or is it something that you worked at with a real focus on?
Yeah, it's definitely something I've worked on and tried to make it a strength. I guess it's pretty controllable. Your running base, I guess you can always train and get better at it. But I did timber top in year 9, which is, it's bizarre. I've talked to you about this, but it is bizarre. You go up and you're in units up in like the high country in Mansfield, and I didn't play any footy in that year, but you do a lot of long running, and it's long kind of trail running.
Yep.
So I probably lost a bit of my speed doing it, but it was just a grind. So you just go out and you'd run long distances. So that probably gave me a good base going in after that with my running, I guess.
Describe timber top for the listeners outside Victoria. What is it? Did Prince Charles do that, maybe?
Yeah, I think he might have. I'm not too sure. It's different. Like, you go up there, you're in a unit.
And it's obviously a school program.
Yeah, a school program starting in year 9, and you don't have any phones, like no real laptops or anything like that. The only way you can write home is through letters. So you talk to your parents through letters, and you're living in a big unit pretty much in the freezing cold, no heating or any of that kind of stuff, no warm showers unless you light a boiler.
Jeez.
And you're living with 15 boys, so it kind of teaches you that you've got to get up and do stuff yourself because you don't have a mum that's going to make you eggs and bacon in the morning.
Yeah, and I guess that sort of readies you for what might lie ahead at the end of the year too if you do get the chance to join an AFL list interstate or have to move. I mean, you do that with a bit of confidence now, I'd imagine.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. I definitely take a bit of confidence kind of going up there. I think if you can get through living in the freezing cold up there, you can go anywhere, so doesn't bother me too much. But yeah, no, I definitely agree. It probably does give me a little bit of confidence that I can move away from home pretty seamlessly.
Now, I've watched you train with the academy and obviously seen you play at the Falcons, and alongside you through a lot of that has been Sam Walsh, who looks like being a number one contender this year, and you would have known as much about him as anyone. What makes him tick, and how do you two go when you train with each other? And I imagine that it's probably been a good thing for both of you to have each other there alongside.
Yeah, I've been so lucky just to have Sam at the Falcons, and we actually weren't that close before I kind of came into the program. He obviously did all the 16 stuff, and when I came in, we kind of did strike a bit of a bond pretty quickly, and just his intensity at training, he always gets the best out of me, and I think we work really hard together. I think Doc had to say to us a few times, boys, stop trying to beat each other in the one-on-one drills, go and train with somebody else. But Sam's awesome, and I mean, even as a player, I watched him in the trial game on, I think it was Sunday this weekend, just up in the time box with his running patterns, just trying to follow him. And the way he reads the game is just incredible. He's a genuine superstar, but at training, he's just so laid back as well off the track. And he's just a genuinely good bloke. But on the track, he's just so competitive and he's so constructive too. He always wants to make you better. So, yeah, he's amazing.
And you'll play alongside him with Vic Country in the next few weeks as the championships start. And what are your aims and ambitions for the carnival?
Yeah, my ambition is really just to play my role, just whatever batters kind of states is my role within the group. And I think that's really everyone's ambition at the country. We're pretty good like that. I think batters really emphasises that mateship's one of our really defining factors as a group, and the way we can play for each other and play as a group. And then, as I spoke about kind of earlier, that individual success really stems from that. So I just want to really play my role there. Whatever batters sees is important, and then go from there, I guess.
All the clubs and recruiters will be in the stands at every game, as they are at every game, but I guess the championships are a big period of the year for them too to assess how you guys go against the best. What's it been like this year for you to meet clubs and recruiters and the guys who are going to decide your fate in many ways? I mean, they went on the trip in America, they were there in Darwin as well as part of the NAB AFL Academy, so you've got some sort of first-hand experience with them, but have many come down to catch up with you since then, and what's all that process been like for you?
Yeah, no, it's been awesome. I've talked to a few clubs, which has been good, but I think it's just so important just to be honest with them, because if they do pick you up, you don't want to come in saying you're Peter and then rock up as John, because I think that's going to be an absolute disaster. But no, all the recruiters, they're all different. Like, all the clubs go about things a little bit differently, and some of the meetings are different. But at the end of the day, they're all just really blokes and girls and as well. So yeah, I think you just got to be yourself, and yeah, it's been pretty fun.
And the draft, just I guess overall, before we do let you go, is it on your mind every day? Is it something that you think about every day? Is it something that every time you go to training, you've got this end goal in mind, or are you able to sort of push it aside as school takes over and be distracted by other things?
Yeah, it's definitely something that you do think about. I think you'd be lying a little bit if you didn't acknowledge it as one of your real ambitions for the year, towards the end of the year, the draft. But I suppose you've just got to kind of break it down week to week. It sounds cliche, but if you just focus on the week ahead and you play well and you train well all the time, then I guess most people will just hope that it'll sort itself out if it happens. But I think it's just important just to focus on what's happening, surely.
Ned, good luck for the championships. Well done on the year so far, and we look forward to watching you play for the rest
Thanks,
of the year
Cal.
And as it all unfolds. So good chat. Jeez, I reckon that might be in a bit of trouble. If you ever want to come in on host, you can chat probably just as well as she can. So.
Well, I must be open to that. If things don't work out next year, I might be popping in as a co-host.
We'll see you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Cal.
Ned McHenry there from the Geelong Falcons. Smart kid. Sounds like he's got his head screwed on.
He's a ripper.
Loves a chin wag.
He's a good chat. He's a very popular young boy. So I know clubs spend a lot of time talking with him on different trips, and he can really hold a conversation. So you've got to give that to the kids who can do that. And that came through in that chat, I think.
Where do you think he sort of goes in the draft?
Well, it's funny because some clubs will probably rate him a little bit higher than others. He's obviously a smaller type, and as he said, he probably needs to improve his sort of breakaway speed a little bit more to combine that with his elite endurance. Some clubs might have him in the top 30 to 40. Others might be a little bit further back, but he's certainly doing his best to get a chance. And someone who I think we'll see a little bit of his sort of run and carry throughout the championships. He can also play as a small forward, so he might do that for Vic Country this next month or so.
Twitter questions now, and thanks to everyone who has been tweeting.
A good
them
friend
in.
Of Alex Withernan's as well, by the way, a friend of the podcast.
Excellent.
So Geelong College link coming through there.
I like it. Steve wants to know who are the five best ruckmen in the TAC Cup at the moment.
Well, I'm not sure there's a.
Are there
a
real, five?
I'm not sure there's five standouts at the moment. It's a pretty slim year for ruckmen. We'll wait and see how high Bailey Williams does go. He's a prospect from the Dandenong Stingrays who's sort of shouldered the load there. Also, Riley Bowman's at the Stingrays too, yep. So he's another ruckman there. Bailey Griffiths is one to keep an eye out for. The Chargers way, obviously got some basketball background there as well as being a nephew of Dean Brogan. So someone who's got some good bloodlines, but haven't seen him sort of produce much to this point.
Nicholas is a Tiger fan, and he's tweeted in, any father sons on the horizon for Richmond? How's Morris Jr. tracking?
Yeah, Morris is going okay from all reports. Eligible in a few years, 2020. So
apparently he's a Jet.
A little bit of a waiting period there, but obviously very close to Daniel Rioli too. Moved to Scotch College in Melbourne, so following the Cyril Rioli path. So Daniel is obviously at the Tigers, and Morris can join the Tigers. He can also join Fremantle through where his old man played. And, yep. And I think he's also in Essendon's Next Generation Academy zone, right. Although that's unlikely. So I think he'd be at the Tigers. Just a matter of where the bid comes for him later down the track. Xavier Naish is down the track as well, brother of Paddy. Next
similar
year.
Yeah,
he's actually a bit of a dead ringer in terms of the way he looks and plays. I haven't got to know him yet, but Paddy's obviously a ripper. So there's a couple of guys there who might be on the Tigers' radar.
Kendall wants to know, Kendall Jenner, is
bit
there
of news around about Kendall?
Wow. Matt Thompson in our office was going absolutely mad about this news. Kendall and Ben.
Well, he thought he was a chance.
Yeah, well, he probably did. I don't know. But Ben Simmons.
With Ben, I think he's a big Ben fan, actually.
Loves Ben. Frothing. Anyway, is there a knock on Rankin's game? His highlights make him look worth pick one, but some think he could reach about pick seven. That from
that's
Kendall.
That's very specific from Kendall.
Oh, she's nailing it.
She or he, I'm not sure. It could be either.
Kendall Jenner.
Running, big fan of the show. Yeah, it's probably his running stuff in terms of his endurance work is the main knock there. Whether his fitness is at that level you'd want from someone at pick one, and also whether you'd take a small forward who's 180 or so centimetres at pick one is probably debatable too compared to some of the taller midfielders and also the taller key position types. I mean, another thing as well with ranking, I mean, when you're picking an early pick, you want the full package in many cases, and that includes, you know, professionalism and getting that to that really high end. So that's everything you need to take into account.
So clearly Kendall Jenner and Ben Simmons listen to our podcast regularly, because Ben has tweeted in ex, Caleb Graham, how's he in the KPP standings? Look a talent for the Suns Academy.
Because if not, we'd like him in the 76ers.
Yeah, that's right.
Caleb Graham, he kicked about 10 or so goals at the Academy series for the Suns, including a 6-goal haul, played forward and back. Yeah, looks a talent, so we'll wait and see how he goes for the Allies. He's in their squad.
Sean wants to know, will any of those big forwards last to Freo's pick if it's in the 6 to 10 range? Question.
10 at the moment's been a bit optimistic. Oh, I think the King boys will be gone by then. Let's say if it's pick 8. Let's say pick 8. We'll go pick 8 just to put it in the middle. The Kings will be gone by then. Lukosius will be gone by then. Bailey Williams could be available, could well be available, and probably will be available. It's whether they rate him as a forward or a ruckman. And if they think that's the hole on their list they need to fill. Obviously, they went really high with two midfielders last year. Could they go a key position type? Clubs are divided on whether they see Williams as a key forward or ruckman. So it's not a bad place to be for Williams, because he's highly rated in both.
This next tweet is from Tex.
Tex, man.
Thanks for the shout-out last week. I'm a big fan. What do you think live pick or player trading would do to the draft and TAC Cup, etc. TV rights? Surely West Coast would have traded for Tim Kelly after Geelong swooped on him last draft if they were very keen. So
well,
two parts.
What do I think it would do for the TV rights? You're more of a TV sort of...
We need Matt Thompson in here,
we
really.
Do. I don't think...
Nothing.
I can't think it'd make a difference to the TAC Cup and all that. We're so far off from broadcasting that, unfortunately. In terms of the money and the interest levels not probably being there enough. So I don't think that's going to make too much of a difference, particularly with the draft. It's not a massive event TV-wise, I wouldn't have thought.
No, I don't think so. It's not going
to
bring in
the
audiences.
And to be fair, I actually think the live trading could slow it down even further and bore people even more.
I think so.
And as for West Coast, what they would have done, well, what did they have? They had pick 21 where they took Oscar Allen, and then pick 26 where they had Liam Ryan, and in between was 24 and the Cats where they took Tim Kelly. But they already had a couple of mature ages clearly on their radar, in Ryan and also Willy Rioli. Don't think you could knock the Eagles recruiting too much from how they went last year. They're going beautifully at the moment.
Joe would like to know, where do you have Bailey Smith ranked?
Top 10.
Bang. Yep. Done. Easy. There you
go. Not sure exactly where, but in the top 10 at the moment.
Robbie asks, can you see the number of West Australians being drafted being higher than usual?
No, 15 in the national draft last year and then 5 in the rookie, so 20 all up last year, which was an outstanding effort under the guidance of talent manager Adam Jones over there, and I just don't think it's going to be the case this year. By this stage of last year, we'd had a few players emerge. We had Aaron Norton, who clearly was going to be a very good player. Oscar Allen the same. I don't think that's quite been the case this year.
El Catog has tweeted in, Cat Dog. how are the Carlton father sons travelling? Ben Silvani, Oscar Manton, and Will Hickmott.
Will Hickmott probably going as best of any of them. WA, we'll see him for WA throughout the championships. More of a wingman. Played quite well in the trial game a couple of weeks ago. Silvani probably shapes as a rookie selection at this point. A Manton's probably a little bit off the radar.
Okay. Andrew would like to know, where do you think Riley Bowman will go in the draft? You mentioned him before.
Yeah, he's got some top 30 talents for sure and top 30 attributes, AFL attributes. Quite a mobile, big man, about 198, 199 centimetres, uses the ball well on that left foot. So can go key position as well. I think he's a top 30 chance. Whether he's going to do enough in the championships to get himself in there, we'll wait and see.
Ian, I keep jumping over everyone.
Being very rude.
Ian wants to know, Hawks have Irving Mosquito, Ben Cardaman, and Tom Graham all available at discount. Can they fit them all in and still take other picks?
Yeah, I mean, they've got them eligible. I'm not sure that obviously doesn't mean that you're definitely going to take them. Irving Mosquito seems the main one here who would attract a big, small forward from the Gippy Power, Indigenous player who's got some real tricks. Tom Graham, the father's son, obviously. Graham's son
on.
And Ben Cardamone.
So it is Cardamone?
I think so.
Good.
He's NGA. He's probably later a rookie, but I don't think it's going to worry them too much in terms of their points and all that sort of stuff.
Our producer, Jack, is very, very excited about Tom Graham. Ricky would like to know that he's interested in Jared Cameron. Is he a lock to be taken by West Coast? I saw him at Eagles training recently and he looks very similar to Charlie.
Well, that'd be a good thing for them, wouldn't it? Charlie's on fire this year. He's been a great pickup for
Ricky's
the Lions.
He's out there scouting for us. I like it. Thanks, Ricky.
And obviously the Lions gave up pick 12 to get Charlie in, so obviously rated him highly. Yeah, Jared Cameron, younger brother, part of their Next Generation Academy West Coast, so they get first rights to him. I think at the moment he's probably later or rookie selection, but pretty talented.
Moo has tweeted
Moo.
In. Moo.
Were they saying... No.
Oh, no. Will Ben King edge out Max?
Ooh.
That is a very good question.
I'm going to go with yes at the moment. And to be fair, I was actually saying that they're pretty close before he went down with his injury, Max. So.
Really? But had he not have done his injury?
That's a hypothetical. We don't deal in hypotheticals here.
Who are you, Ross Lyon? All right. Our final Twitter question is from Luke. How's Craig Kelly's son going in the TAC Cup this year?
Will Kelly has been pretty solid at school level, TAC Cup. I see more as a defender. He's been played as a forward at stage as well. Pretty athletic type, a little bit taller than Jake, but I think he'll be doing enough and do enough to get drafted by the Pies. Obviously, a Collingwood father-son as the son of old Ned Kelly.
That is right. Thank you, everyone, for your Twitter questions. You can tweet us at NABAFLDraft or at Cal Toomey.
Yeah, I think that's it.
That's the one. Prime Prospects dropping
We've got a song of the week.
Oh, sorry. I totally forgot.
Oh, my God.
Your song of the week. What is it?
Yeah, the song of the week is by Albert Hammond Jr. It's called Set to Attack. He's the guitarist from The Strokes. He's solo now. I should have bought a ticket to him. So that's why I threw that one out there. Strokesy type of feel, distorted vocals, all the tight little guitar work that he's very good
Where's
at.
Where's that gig?
Corner Hotel.
Oh, the Corner.
Yes, yeah, so.
I went to my very first gig at the Corner.
Who was that?
Liana Lajavis.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Who's that?
She's just a British singer. She's got a beautiful voice.
What does she sing?
Songs. Can't remember any of the names. That was like years ago.
Case for you.
No, she was great.
Oh, she was great. I don't know what she sung or who she is.
Well, I don't know her name, names of her songs, but yes, she was great. Have you had any good free feeds lately? Weekend? No. Did you go to any school footy?
No, not on the weekend. Oh. No, sorry, nothing for that segment this week. But I will tonight. I'm going to have a good free feed tonight.
Oh, what's tonight?
We're going to trivia night.
Oh, yeah, I'm bailing on that one.
You're not coming?
No, I'm bailing. Oh. My foot's sore.
Jack, are you coming, our producer? Yeah, Jack's coming.
Yeah,
well. How about Jack? Jack earlier in the week was saying, the trivia night. Are you going to the trivia night? Oh, it's a bit further out. It's in Footscray. I said, Jack, I don't think it's in Footscray. It turns out it's like three minutes away in the city. So
Footscray, the city.
Not that there's anything wrong with Footscray. It's just that Jack was...
Well, Jack lives in what, Armidale or something?
Part-time, I think.
Hawthorne.
Yeah. So I made my first mistake.
Well, enjoy the free burgers, I think they are.
Yes. Yes,
enjoy
they are free burgers.
Have you got... what's your strength when it comes to trivia?
Robbie Williams. Angels 1997. Take that, 1992.
Oh, my God. You are hilarious. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening.